Hello my lovelies, I'm Jay Aquaninsight and welcome to Aries season. These are going to be your Aries season messages. Now, as I've started to do the last few seasons, I do have a quote from an Aries native, Robert Downey Jr. His birthday's on the 4th of April, I think. And the quote that I have from him this season is, "I think that we all do heroic things, but hero is not a noun, it's a verb." Now, a lot of these quotes that I pick a month in advance. I think this one I picked maybe Capricorn Aquarius season, I don't remember. But having done the Aries season, as I record this intro, that is very applicable. You will see it in the Aries reading. There's two things I want to cover in this very, very quick intro. Firstly, if you're watching this at the beginning of Aries season, please know that I opened my calendar for 9 days. This was requested. This was not something that I expected to do. I did record a short video just explaining this. Hopefully you've seen that by now, but it's only open for 9 days in between the two eclipses. So I think the first date is the 26th of March until the 5th of April. So I've opened those 9 days. It is. Two of the days are already fully booked. So you can book with me. There'll be details in the description of how you can do that. Now, secondly, I want to explain about the oracle cards. The first card that I pull, which is from a series of oracle decks called the Seasons of the Witch. This one is the Imbolc Oracle, and I think I've explained about this on Discord as well. It's not the kind of deck that I'm usually drawn to. If you know me, if you see the decks that I use, there's a number of reasons for it. It's not the deck I'm drawn to. So this was a very significant deck, the way that it came into my life. And the reason I'm using it is, even though we've come out of Imbolc now, we are entering Ostara, I think it's the 21st of March, or it's basically the equinox, right? The spring equinox in the Northern Hemisphere. A new season starts. But I wanted to pull this to show this is what we're bringing into this season. Now, the second card that I pull is from the Sacred Destiny Oracle, and that's the North Node is in Aries. So there's a lot around Sacred Destinies and stuff that are coming up. And then the final card, as I always do for fire seasons, is an animal spirit card. And this is the Wild Unknown Animal Spirit. I'm very excited for this season. Hopefully by the time you are watching this, I will have recorded and posted the Aries season cheat sheet, as I did for Pisces season. There'll be links to everything in the description, how to book, where you can find the Aries cheat sheet. All of that will be there, or check out my website. I do update my website with everything. I think that's about all that I have to share in this intro. I want to say I love you guys very much. Settle in. Let's get on with the reading. Libra, hello. Okay, wow. So I love the reading already, but hey, I've been saying that to all of them. I've been loving doing these seasonals for Aries season. Big one for you. I'm recording this on, it's day two of Aries season. It's the 21st of March, and I think it's Monday. Is it Monday? Monday we have that full moon lunar eclipse that happens in your sign. So hopefully there's more than just Libra watching this. I posted on the Discord server yesterday about this because my spidey sense went, and maybe it was because I had done Virgo and I was preparing to do you guys, but I knew I was going to do you guys today because I didn't do too many readings yesterday. And my spidey sense went, so I thought, oh, okay, there's something going on with this Libra. Whether that's for me personally, I know it's for me personally, but forget me personally. Let's talk to you guys about what's going on with you. Right, we have the first card, which is Casserole. And I didn't even know this card. I mean, I've gone through and looked at all the cards, but I was a bit surprised at this. But it's so perfect. It's so perfect. I couldn't have handpicked a better card. Let me see, what does it say? It says, trust in the flavors that led you here. An unexpected alignment, let it move you in ways that capture your soul. So that's kind of like what's gotten you to this point. There is a word that comes up already in, like, with the alignment, aligning, right? And I'll be honest with you, that's not really the kind of, there's certain words that I've just been like, killed by, you know, the way they've been used and how they've been used and stuff. But if we take it neutrally and literally, aligning with something, that's a theme that comes up for you already. But let's read you what it says for Casserole. And I will warn you, if it sounds weird how I'm reading this, it's because if you can have a look, there's, I don't know who came up with this idea, when I get to the bottom of the pages, it's difficult to read because they've got these kind of mountains or something at the back. Anyway, keywords, alignment, bringing things together in a harmonious way. Hello, Libra. It says this card will appear when lifetime or long-term connections are being formed. Receiving it suggests the presence of a soulmate, angel, investor, or business partner, and potentially a new addition to your family, such as a child or fur baby. I'm just going to pause there a second, right? This refers to all relationships. Like, well, you've got this overall theme that you're coming in with. Remember, this is from Inbok. We're coming in with this. And yet, we've got a relationship with abundance. We've got this kind of parent-child dynamic coming up with Deer. We've got this student-teacher dynamic coming up with Cobra. So there's a lot of relationships that are being covered within this, which is Libra, right? The other thing I do want to add here as well, that obviously you're the seventh sign that I'm reading for. You're the only sign other than Taurus that got two cards from this. And you're both Venus ruled, right? And Venus is in Pisces. So that was an interesting kind of two fish dynamic coming up with these animal. Like, you're not just one thing. You're the deer and the cobra. So like I said, the only other sign that that happened to was Taurus. And as you're both Venus ruled, that's the connection that I make because of where Venus is. But let me continue reading this. Where was I? Or in addition to your fat... Hang on, did I say that bit? I'll just start from the beginning. This card will appear when lifetime or long-term connections are being formed. Receiving it suggests the presence of a soulmate, angel, investor, or business partner, and potentially a new addition to your family, such as a child or fur baby. It could also represent finding your way, calling, or settling in a place that feels like home. Much like a casserole, this new connection indicates a feeling of warmth, familiarity, and comfort. You can expect this relationship to be harmonious, for there to be a feeling of belonging together, like mac and cheese. That's an interesting one. Okay. Don't allow doubt to spoil things when this feeling appears in your life. The attachment you have or are building is very likely to be reliable and fits into the moving parts of your life with ease. If you're inquiring about bringing things together, such as a group of friends or blending a family, this card is confirmation that everyone involved will find joy with one another. For questions related to finances, this card suggests financial stability and comfort. You may experience financial windfalls or be blessed with an opportunity to create long-term wealth, right? So consider that, right? We've got this coming, and you're coming in with this. So how have you been working with this? Have you been opening up to this? And this is, goes for everyone, right? We've had, I mean, I kind of get the sense that this is South Node in Libra, where our relationship with all those things, wherever you've got Libra in your chart, has been playing out. Libra's my midheaven. So, you know, if you can look at it from that perspective, like just for me, for example, if you got 10th house Libra, which whole sign is going to be... if you're, spit it out, Jay, a Capricorn, right? Or if you're Placidus, like me, I'm a Sagittarius rising, but Libra is my midheaven. That would be where my changes in relationships are. And you've seen it. You know, my relationship with work is changing. My relationship with myself and as someone who's out and about in the world and what that means to me is changing. So... I think this really refers to the whole time that the South Node has been going through. It's not our first rodeo, right, with the South Node in Libra for this transit. But let's see where it's going. And I do want to say this, that, I mean, we've got the star here. I know you may have heard me say this before. That a lunar eclipse can feel like a tower moment. You know, it can be electrical, it can be charged, it can have that kind of, almost like a Uranian feel. I do get that sense sometimes. So be mindful of that. Because especially when the star came up, you've heard me say that before about tower moments. And, you know, if you're afraid of the tower, hey, come on. You've been watching me for a long time. The tower is Mars energy. This reading is very much about looking on the other side of that. Some of you may already have been standing in the rubble of a tower moment for a while now. But that gets driven home with this star energy coming up, which it's an opportunity for you to look up, see the star that guides you. Right, let's read abundance, which is wildflower wonderland. And it says, wildflowers are not intentionally planted. They are untamed, natural and free. And I swear to you, if I had like a, I do hope to have a big house one day with land and stuff. And that's what I would do. I'm going to keep my grass a little bit messy and long, a lawn. I want a lawn and I want wildflowers. You know, I love wildflowers. So I don't know why I went to share that, but there you go. Their fragrance calls bees to pollinate them so that seeds are created to continue the cycle of life. These kinds of natural flowers don't try to be profuse and beautiful. They just are, without struggle or worry. They're abundant without effort. Prosperity is your birthright. And the grand profusion of a field of untamed flowers reminds you that a windfall is coming. It's simply a matter of aligning your vibration. There's that word again, aligning. And windfall, what's coming in, right? Didn't that word come up twice? It came up in this as well, right? Windfall. It's simply a matter of aligning your vibration and frequency with that which you desire to manifest. Now, here's the thing with the windfall. Anyone that knows the story of the Chinese farmer, right? You know, where, oh, that's amazing that that happened, maybe. That's awful that that happened, maybe. We don't always know. And a windfall doesn't always look like a windfall, trust me. Or something that looks like a windfall at first can be like the worst thing that ever happened to you. So just be open, open to receiving, open to aligning, knowing that, as I said, for in the Aries season cheat sheet, it's bringing you back to yourself. Everything is you. Everything has you in it. And I love that it uses the word birthright. I was planned, I think it was last year, to do a talk on this and I never got around to it. But there is a massive difference between birthright and entitled, right? And when we're entitled, we feel like we're not entitled to anything, right? Not really. We're not entitled to things. I'll give you an example of this. I was talking to someone. I've got loads of change happening with my relationships. And if you guys know, you know that it started off, how long ago was that now? It was over a year ago when Mars went retrograde in my seventh house, and then which is my seventh house as a Sag rising, and then Venus went retrograde in my seventh house as an Aquarius, right, in Leo. So I've had a lot changing on my relationships, all relationships. I'm very much feeling this, and I'm starting to get clarity around that. So it's been over a year, this journey. And somebody asked me today, oh, are you perceiving like endings of relationships? And I said no, I'm not perceiving endings of relationships. I'm perceiving that there are relationships that aren't, there never were relationships. So there's nothing to end. Which, consider that, right? Consider what is a relationship to you. Why am I saying this? Because there's a lot around ending stuff, letting go. And we talked about that in Pisces season. And it's very nuanced, and it may sound like splitting hairs. There are things that are ending, but not because you're ending them. Now, why do I say that? Because with the tower is focused on destruction. I say that because of the star. But think about this, right? If you are looking for a career move, or, you know, whatever, and you're trying different things, you're dabbling in different things. When you notice your star, when you notice, oh my God, that's where I want to go. That's what I'm aligned with. That's my destiny. That's where I'm headed, right? When you realize that, you're not actually ending anything. Because that stuff just falls away. It just blends away into the background. And I know not everyone is built that way. So I don't want to say everyone is built that way. I think there's some signs that are very much about the endings, right? And doing that. And this is not a lazy way of getting rid of people or not communicating with people. I think it's very lazy. And you don't do yourselves any, you do yourselves a, yourself a disservice when you do that. And you do the other person a disservice. This is much more, the alignment is about the align, what you're aligning with. Not, oh fuck, what do I need to get rid of to be able to do this? Let me read to you. The sacred landscape wants you to know. Everything is blossoming in your life. Open yourself to receive. Abundance, fulfillment, and prosperity are ready to be activated in your life. Life desires you to prosper. You're moving toward an outpouring of money, energy, time, or love. Same thing as this card, I mean. Opportunities are limitless. However, you must take action in the direction of your dreams. That's what I mean. It's not about, oh, what do I need to get rid of? It's what do I need to take action towards? Don't wait for abundance to fall into your lap. Take steps. Give deeply and fully. Don't hold back. This card reveals that this is a great time to make investments. The more you give with a free and open heart, the more you will receive. Be grateful for what you already have, and even more will flow to you. Beautiful. Love it. Okay, now let's talk about Deer and Cobra. So with Deer, we have loving, intuitive, graceful, the mother. And just so you know, right, if you have a look, the card before it, they go up in, like, so we end up at, sorry, hitting the mic there. We end up at horse, and horse is mastery. It's the it's mastery of the element of earth. So, and it begins, try not to lose my bloody page here. It begins with something like an earthworm or something, right? Or the bear waking up from slumber. So it's how the energy intensifies and manifests fully, right? From bear energy, where it's in slumber, just waking up, to horse, where it's like powerful and strong and taking action. So deer comes after elk, and elk is the father. I'm not saying that, you know, to be able to act and to do, stable, resilient, headstrong, you know, that which is very Aries energy, deer comes after it. So it's extra mastery to be able to do this, to be loving, intuitive, graceful. And I say that because I think often in this world, those kind of traits of being loving, intuitive, graceful are seen as lesser than, are seen as not powerful. They're not seen as powerful. And yet, and I think rightly so, this shows it as a progression from being able to be headstrong and all the rest of it, which to me, that's Aries and Libra energy. So interesting that you guys got this. It says the deer represents the feminine aspects of earth energy. This energy is available to all creatures, regardless of gender, but is especially potent in new parents. Now, remember that. Remember I said new parents, right? During the first few days, they are fully present, nurturing and calm. The inner beauty radiates and a sense of grace calms the room. A deer personality affects others in this way, drawing them toward a quiet tenderness. The deer card may appear when a birth or celebration of new life draws near, or when a situation calls for absolute gentleness and compassion. When in balance, receptive, compassionate, nurturing. When out of balance, concerned, protective. To bring into balance, nature and children. If anyone's expecting a kid or a grandkid or something like that happens this season, please let me know about your new Aries addition to your family, because it's coming up to, like, three of them have kind of talked about this, right? So we've got that deer energy. And remember, it's the presence of the parent. You know, how they're there. They're just fully present in that moment. Excuse me. Then we've got Cobra, which is fire. And it says pausing, waiting, the inner teacher. The cobra represents a teacher or spiritual guardian. Check this out. Remember what it said about the new parent? The cobra hovers and watches, ever present, ever protecting, ever loving. The essence of the cobra is found deep within us in the form of the inner teacher and manifests externally in those special guides who've led us along our path. What would it feel like to be a student again? What are you ready to learn? Remember the old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. When in balance, a student of life, humble, wise. When out of balance, know-it-all, egocentric. To bring into balance, taking a class or study. Now, here's an example that comes up for me around this. So if those of you may remember that I did it was at the beta version of this, all this Aquarian stuff that's coming in. And it was, I think, about a year and a half ago at this point. It was the Impossible Jam Challenge that I did, that I started, and I, you know, it was amazing, and so many people did it, and really grateful to all of them. But one of the things that I noticed in myself as well, so this is not just like looking at other people and saying poo-pooing them, I felt this within myself as well. I was honest about it. I talked about it in one of our sessions, which was the whole idea behind it, just to kind of, if you weren't aware of it or weren't around then when that happened, was you had to say what your impossible dream was and then what the obstacle to that dream was. Now, one of the themes that I noticed, some people are amazingly vulnerable, But it became very apparent that even when we were vulnerable and said what the impossible dream was, and there was at least a couple where, you know, I even questioned myself and said, how vulnerable am I being in the dream that I picked? Because I didn't feel like it was vulnerable enough. I didn't feel like I went big enough. But it takes a lot to share a dream. And what I think a lot of people had to overcome, myself included, was the fact that to say you want something that you think is impossible to get and then the obstacle in your way, right? Because there is this kind of, you know, I'm on my spiritual path. I know what I'm doing. I know everything that's going on with me. So there is an obstacle to being vulnerable, to saying, well, I don't know. Then there's an obstacle to revealing that to other people. Then there's an obstacle to actually taking, you know, advice and whatever from others. So a lot of people just dropped out of it because they didn't want to fucking hear it. Like, they didn't want to hear, you know, don't tell me what to do. Don't do whatever. But that's an ego problem. That's egocentric, that within yourself. And the whole point of the whole thing was not even the dream. It was those things. That, you know, where am I finding it difficult to identify what I want? Where am I finding it difficult to open up about what I want? Where is it difficult for me to allow others to work with me and to cooperate? Now, there were some other rules that I had put in place around that, which another one of them was that you had to share a dream first, right? Because take it from me, Virgo Moon here, I know how this works. A lot of people have no problem coming in and saying, well, you should do this and you should do that and you should do whatever. And it's the same people who love doing that, who are not so great at receiving that, being on the receiving end of that, because it's perceived as criticism, which is the ego thing. So I think a lot of us got our egos checked, either with awareness or not, when we were going through that. And like I said, that was beta. That was 18 months at least before Pluto went into Aquarius. And it can be difficult to do that. But that's one of the challenges that we've got now, is to working with other people, relating. And Libra, you're part of that. South Node in Libra is part of this, right? Of this, how we relate, what we see as relationships. So there's a thing about presence here. There's a thing about the inner teacher. There's a thing about maybe, you know, a teacher showing up outside of us. And I think it can be very easy. And I say this as someone who I've been looking to study something. I don't know what I want to study yet, but I would like to do that. I'd like to balance out my thing of teaching with being a student somewhere. And I do see myself as a student of life. Of every reading that I pull, I'm learning something. You know, that's the balance that I bring. But consider within yourself, like, what is it that you're learning? We all have something to learn. If we're saying there's nothing, we have nothing left to learn, then that's a very closed off place to be. Then you don't need anything, right? There's no abundance coming, there's nothing. That where you are, your level of knowledge, how you experience life, what you're doing with life, that's it. Job done. I know 100% fact that's not right for me. That, you know, there's so much left for me to explore and learn and to take in. And especially about people. The card meanings are always changing still for me. You know, I've been, one of the reasons I haven't written that tarot book, that, you know, I wrote a version of it. And one of the reasons I haven't is because I know it will change. And maybe I'll have to do, like, you know, Queer and Insight Tarot 1 and then do extra additions. Maybe that's something to consider, but things are always changing. We're always learning and changing. Right, let's get cards for this. Now, I'm gonna do this for you the way I've done it for the, I think everyone's in Cancer, I've been doing it this way. Four of Pentacles in the past, comfort zone. But it's, you know, comfort as in maybe this was the casserole. You know, this is getting to a good place of saying, I'm comfortable with the relationships that I have. I'm comfortable with my level of security and stability. I'm comfortable here, which is a great thing, but you can't stay there. That's the kind of, I know what I like. I know what I have. I know what I want. There's a limitation around this. This is exactly what I was describing, that, you know, there's nothing else. I can't take anything else in. I have these four pentacles. That's enough. Now, we can call this gratitude. We can call this acceptance. And yet, if you're completely honest and you look at your life and you, it's pentacles. So we're looking at how you spend your time. We're looking at the state of your body and your health. We're looking at the state of your relationships. We're looking at, you know, friction, even like friction with your life, within yourself. What are you sitting on? Right. It's got those kind of vibes around it, for better or for worse. Like, we need to get to this as a foundation, very much a foundation. But where to next? And if you guys remember on YouTube, I used to say this when the Four of Pentacles came up, and this is in the past, whenever the Four of Pentacles came up, if that was it, if you were satisfied, happy, cool, I used to say, and that's the end of your reading. That's the end of your message. Because nothing ventured, nothing gained. So if there's nothing that you want to venture, if you're just perfectly satisfied, then you know what to do. Sit with that, enjoy it, more power to you. And I mean that. I'm not being sarcastic, I promise. I know I'm British, but I'm not always sarcastic. But sit with it, enjoy it, bookmark this reading. Come back to it when this starts to feel stifling, when you know that there's more to life, when you know that you're settling, right? Come back to this reading. Everyone else, nothing ventured, nothing gained. Bloody hell. All right, so we got Nine of Swords. Now, why does this feel like, okay, the things are all right now, but you're still worried about the future? Now, here, the other thing that comes up around this is the need for certainty, control. And I can only manage this much. This can be literal anxiety and stress. I'm not a medical professional, health professional, so I'm not giving any kind of advice. But the Nine of Swords is like depression, anxiety, stress, sleepless nights, insomnia. It's all of that. So maybe some of you have had a pause or a timeout to deal with this, right? To bring that balance back in. It's going to be, you know, as many people watch this, there's going to be different meanings around this. But it is that energy, that how you grounded yourself in the present moment, or what you've, how you've limited your life to deal with the Nine of Swords. You have the Five of Swords here, though. Now, the Five of Swords is the blow to the ego. And it can be conflict. It can be, it is conflict, whether it's inner or outer. But it's also, it's an empty victory. Like, I always make that clear. There's no clear-cut winning. Like, you can never fully lose, but you can never fully win with the Five of Swords. Because it costs you something. It's a trade-off. And this is, if we're completely honest with ourselves, it's where we want to look good, right? Have a look at this. This would be, like, doing, I don't know, staying in a relationship because, hey, it's not, you know, too good to leave, too bad, too good to leave, too bad stay, could be one of those. I usually say that with the devil, by the way. Or, you know, I'm good at this. It's that thing of, I'm good at this. You might be good at this. You might be amazing at what it is that you do, but you kind of know that there is more. You know that if you're completely honest with you, and I think you have been, it's the past. Part of you has become aware that you have stayed with this Four of Pentacles, which means not sharing, not opening up, not being more than, not having new, you know, this could be avoidant personality stuff, or a fear of abandonment, right? This can be so much. That's what the Nine of Swords is. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep this pattern. I'm going to protect myself in this way. And it's protective. Because I'm afraid of what others will think, of what will happen in the future, of, you know, whatever that anticipational anxiety is that's coming up with the Nine of Swords. Now, so that's because of that, what we're looking at here is Five of Swords, is the only reason I'm afraid, right? Not only, but one of the reasons is that I've got this notion of I will be rewarded or punished, that there is a right way to do things, there is a wrong way to do this. That I have to fight in a way, or I have to deal with this in a conflict. And this can be, I mean, it can be blind ambition. It can be doing whatever it takes to get what you want. There is a selfishness that comes up with the Five of Swords. It is the card of being selfish. Whether that's our own perception that we're selfish, or others think we're being selfish, right? But you got the Six of Wands with this, which the Six of Wands is, this is pride, right? And so one of the ways can be because it's coming up over this, where we mask this. Like, this can be a mask, especially when you've got Four of Pentacles, Nine of Swords, and the bloody Five of Swords coming up with this. This can be a mask. Let's get some clarifiers. I was actually going to go through the whole thing like I did for the others, but hey, let's just get clarifiers because it's feeling that way. Why is that Five of Swords there? Five of Cups. I don't know who else it was that got this. Maybe it was Cancer. That's chaos. That's agents of chaos. Now, why would agents of chaos be coming up? Because the person is doing the Four of Pentacles, so they don't have to go into the future. Like, I'm staying with what I know. I'm staying what makes me feel whatever little security and stability I've got, Four of Pentacles, because I'm afraid. Now, I just want to say this because there's something very kind of like, you know, depression and anxiety, like full-blown anxiety coming up with this and depression. I'm not trying to say that a reading can just heal you of that, right? You know, there are some real, you know, stuff that goes on with people which needs professional attention. And you might have already done that. You might be ready to face this challenge. But the reason I'm saying that is for those that aren't, this is going to feel very uncomfortable. If you're completely honest with yourself, I think some of you, this has been getting worse. Because the Five of Swords here and then the Five of Cups, that is chaos. And the point of the fives are they are there either to get us out of the four stage where we're stuck, right? They help us. It doesn't feel like help. I get it. Out of this phase. Or it's us ourselves trying to come out of this. The first thing we experience is chaos. Because this is that, you know, I think I said this for Cancer, that healing chaos. There's the tornado. So we're in the eye of the storm and everything's calm there. But to actually do anything or get out of that, we need to go through the storm. And so the first thing that happens to us when we start making moves is chaos, absolute chaos. So if you've been facing that, or if you're facing this kind of mental and emotional chaos, regret, loss, missed opportunities, being called selfish, being misunderstood, like whatever the thing is, Six of Wands is about, you know what you did. You know what it's taken you to get here. Something I used to tell my chronic illness people all the time, I used to tell myself this, it's not what you do, it's what it takes for you to do it. It's very easy for like someone like me to say, hey, I saw people down there, so you know, whatever. That's by my own judgment. Everyone's got their own idea of what anything is. Only you know what it took you to get here. Oh, God. I won't take these because they're face down. I'll show you what they are. Three of Cups, world. So it's, there's an ending there of support, right? You know, of what we see as support, our relationship with support. That keeps coming up and that's going to happen. That's very typical Libra message. But Libra eclipse message. Nine of Wands, Page of Wands. It's the fatigue, it's tiredness, it's being defensive. Page of Wands is playful energy. So you got the Nine of Wands here as well. So are we tired of not being taken seriously? Page of Wands. Are we tired of not having taken ourselves seriously? Are we tired of like putting on, it's the wildflower, right? Are we tired of trying to like look like the rose when we're just a wildflower? We want to be this wonderful wildflower. You know, there's people like me that prefer wildflowers to roses or to this immaculate, you know, I don't like cut flowers. You know, I've said that plenty of times. Like, someone brings me like a bouquet of flowers, like I'll be grateful to them, but I don't like it. I get sad because I'm going to have to watch those flowers die. I just do not like cut flowers whatsoever. So, you know, each to their own. But are you tired of not being taken seriously? Are you tired of, you know, you're having this spark, but for whatever reason, you've not been able to apply it in a certain direction? You've got the Star. That's the Focus. Knight of Swords. Love it. Ace of Cups. Bloody hell, this is changing, Libra. Like, whatever it is. And this feels sticky and gunky and chaotic and difficult, right? Been putting your best foot forward. You've been trying to do your best with this, but we get tired, right? We get tired of having to do the same old, same old. Bloody hell. All right. So with the star, remember, the star is after the tower. It's we have been liberated. Doesn't feel like liberation because we're missing, we're mourning the loss of our security and stability. And I do want to say this. Some of you, like when I was talking about this Four of Pentacles, you're like, nah, that's not me. Because you don't realize it was that. You see it as this, it was an amazing relationship. You see it as the greatest job you ever had. You see it as, but I was so good at that. I was so successful at that. I really liked living there. But it was your prison from the future. Now, why do I say that? Because you've got the Nine of Pentacles here. So there's two types of comfort zones, right? One is the Four of Pentacles. I don't have enough. I can't do this. I need to stay here. I don't have anything to give to this situation. The other is the Nine of Pentacles, which is, yeah, it's not too bad here. The Four of Pentacles, it's too good to leave, right? Oh, sorry, it's not that. The Nine of Pentacles is the too good to leave. It's like, oh, it's okay. It's not too bad. I can just stay with this. So be careful or be mindful of where you're selling yourself short, where you're just settling. Why do I say that? And we all settle at some point. Like, this is not that the swipe, whatever, I don't forget which way, like you swipe, but the swipe left culture of like next, next, next. It's not that. Those people, you know, I fear for that culture of just there's plenty of fish in the sea, because what we do is never settle for anything. We never stop. We never try to make it work with anything. We never commit to anything. We never, you know, actually give our passion and energy to anything. We never speak. We never find new ways of connecting. What all we do is repeat the same like two or three acts that we have mastered. And then when, you know, when we get to the end of those, it's like, yeah, not feeling this. We move on. We never grow in any kind of emotional way. And that's the point of this. We grow. It doesn't matter whether the relationship does or not. That's the first act of abundance, right? That we become more abundant. Ace of Cups. In how we love. In our spiritual growth. It's emotional growth. So with the star, this is that it's that big. It's fated. It's written in the stars. Knight of Swords says this is how we think, this is how we speak, this is how our process of deduction is, right? Our thoughts, our beliefs, our ideas, they become this star energy. What does that mean? Well, that means where the Knight of Swords takes action based on his beliefs, right? He takes action based on his beliefs. So if it's this is destined, this is big, this is whatever, you show up from a bigger place. There's a new there's emotional growth and there's spiritual growth here. Then you have the Nine of Pentacles and you have the Queen of Wands. And now with the Queen of Wands, it's Aries energy. She knows what she wants and she knows how to go get it. And this is very self-directed. It's, you know, I don't have enough. I need to hold on to this. Four of Pentacles to the Nine of Pentacles, which is if you got that much, that's your sanctuary. And I said this about Pisces season. Pisces season was our spiritual sanctuary. It was where we were healing and stuff. But we don't have to stay there. You know, that it was great. It's like going on a spiritual retreat and coming back. You feel great for a day, 2 days, and then all of a sudden reality hits you in the face. And it's like, oh, God, I want to go back. You know, I want to go back to Bali. I want to go back to wherever the hell else people go for these kinds of things. But this, with the Nine of Pentacles, it's... Well, if it did that, it changed me. So I'm able to do more. I'm able to show up in a different way here. And this is massive. To show the Queen of Wands with the star is to show up in a huge way. You know, Pluto is in your fifth house. Fifth house energy, it's self-expression. It's how you show up. It's how you love yourself. How do you create out in the world? So it's not about having or not having. It's about being. And how much of you shows up. You've had this change in perspective. And this is that Piscean kind of flip that may have happened for you. Which is your sixth house, right? So day to day, maybe something happened like physically for you. I keep getting the sense it's from here that someone's like been to see like a doctor. Been to see is past. I'm not predicting this. Been to see like a professional, a doctor, or whatever. And I know a lot of people that have. I'm not alone in this. I know plenty of us had our chronic illnesses and stuff flare up. And it doesn't even have to be that. Maybe it's like, you know, you've been working with a coach. You've been working with whoever. to do this, but it's bringing you outside of your comfort zone in different ways, and in a lot of different ways. Let's see. Yeah, this is Pisces season was big, massive. Why do I say that? Hangman clarified by the moon, clarified by the, oh God, where did it fall? All right, Hangman clarified by the moon, clarified by the Ten of Pentacles, clarified by the Eight of Wands. Now, what does this say? With the Hangman, that's a flip in our perspective. This is, so we finally have to surrender to something, to the limitations that we've been putting on ourselves, to the chaos, mental and emotional, that's been going on, that, you know, the equilibrium or the balance that I'm seeking, I must find it within myself. That doesn't matter how much I control my outer circumstances, that just keeps me stuck. This is the theme that keeps coming up, that the more you try to seek to bring balance and control to your outer circumstances, that, you know, so I have certainty and control and I know how everything else, the more messed up you just feel on the inside. There is always chaos and order. And the way that I like to see it is, the more I can bring order to within myself, as in I know who I am, I know how I am, I know how to manage my internal reality, right? The more I can do that, then I can walk through any fucking chaos. It's not going to touch me. Any situation that arises out in the world, anything that happens outside of me, I can navigate it because I carry that order within myself. I'm not relying on the external to give it to me. I am like that new parent who is able to be fully present and deal with it. You know, babies bring a lot of chaos with them. But it's the parent that has the order. It's that sense of love of that, you know, I have this new child in my life. You may be giving birth to something new. You may be embarking on a new career, new relationship, whatever it is. But if you're still that, and that's old school Libra, right? That's old school Libra, who still relies on outside reality to bring that calm. And I don't know very many Libras like that. I know so many of you've changed. If, you know, Pluto in the fourth will do that to you. So we've got a change of perspective, which is felt like a surrendering, right? Like you had no choice. You stopped fighting it. Just surrendering to this. Now, what does that mean? And if you guys watch, and I would suggest it, check out the Aries season cheat sheet. You can just check out the notes if you don't want to listen to the whole video. It got very long. It was about an hour long. But the notes I've put, and it's that bobcat spirit that came up for that, which is life is a mystery. And you know that. You know that here. It's, this is not like, oh God, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, like feeding those thoughts in. I need to show up in this way so this doesn't happen. No, this is, I surrender, moon. I know that any fears that I have about the future, they're my fears. They're coming from me. They're coming from this chaos, mental and emotional chaos. I don't know what's going to happen. The path ahead, it's clouded in shadows. I walk this path on faith. I have the emotional growth to do this, the spiritual growth, and I will face it head on. I will engage with the Eight of Wands. This is a Mercury card. It's Mercury in Sagittarius, actually. But with the Ten of Pentacles coming up here, this is, you know, this is my legacy. This is my long-term security and stability. Long-term. Like, I want to go back to that new parent dynamic. You know, if there's a baby in the house, this way of thinking would not have a baby in the house. Or would be freaking the fuck out every time that baby cried or did something. Like, that would be this. So you got the parent that's losing their shit. Oh my God, the baby's crying, right? Which I'm not saying doesn't happen. But, you know, in any moment, this way of thinking cannot have anything disrupting that moment. Because I need stability and security. I need calm. I don't want any of this. Because then I start freaking out because I don't know what's going to happen. I start thinking the worst. Every time that baby cries, I'm thinking the worst. Like, you're not going to be fully present if you're doing that. You're not going to be any use to the baby. The baby's going to freak out even more. The parents are freaking out, right? But with this, it's you surrender to the fact that, yeah, I'm going to be afraid. Like, you know, part of me is afraid because I want only the best for my child. I want to make sure, I want to protect and take care of this. And this could be for anything, a new business, project, relationship, whatever's coming up. I know the path is fraught with shadows. I know I will never know that. But I bring to it this kind of thing of navigating it with the mindset that I'm building and creating a legacy. That I don't have to have all the answers in the moment. I can engage with it in the moment. You know, I can engage with this, and this is how we engage with it. But there's something very long term and big picture about what's going on right now. So if that is the case, if that's an awareness, maybe Pisces season has brought that to you already. Why have we got the Nine of Wands in the future in there? You know, and it's coming in. So we're revisiting something that we've been doing for a long time, that we're defensive about, that we're maybe tired of, that we're fatigued about. Knight of Cups. I love this. Seven of Wands. High priestess. I love this. Okay, so with the Nine of Wands coming out, I mean, we've got it here as well, right? So this really felt like I'm tired of showing that face, being that person, you know, whatever, that I've changed, and I just feel like I'm not showing it. What's that line about? I'll just say it's like hiding your light, is it behind a bushel or something? I don't know, something like that's coming up. But it's that spark. Or I don't have time to do this, or there's too much other else going on, like I don't have this. And I'll just tell you myself that there's certain things I've been thinking about, which is, you know, I was telling my sister this yesterday, that I'm 48, I turned 48 in January, and I was thinking, there's things that I've wanted to do since I was a child, right? I'm not saying I want to do them now. Like, I don't have the urge. I'm not like, oh my God, this is my purpose. In fact, I think I've had my fill of purpose and meaning. I've lived a very purpose-driven, meaningful life the last 7 or 8 years, but I don't even need that anymore. Like, to feel like it's written in the stars and this is my destiny and stuff, you know, I don't need that anymore. And it's about choosing now, the choices that we make. You know, everything's become very soft, very quiet, very balanced. It's not life or death anymore. And for a long time, it was like, you know, you'll hear it a lot. Fighting for the forces of light and dark, and you know, what's the other thing that comes up around this? You know, soul contracts and your purpose and all the rest of it. And I think that can do this to you. If this is from a very spiritual place, that can do this to you. And that's why I think that dynamic of the parent-child is huge. You wouldn't put that on a kid. You're not going to nurture the child or give the, like, look at the kid and say, right, you're going to be the bloody president, or you are going to go save life. Like, no, you give the baby what it needs in the moment so that it can go on to be strong and, you know, abundant and choose its own way. Like, ultimately, I think a lot of parents, no matter what we decide or how we want to start, you know, how we want to educate them or whatever, at that stage, when they're tiny, new parents, it talks about new, at the inception of something, the birth of something new, you're not looking at your kid and thinking that then. You just want to nurture and just nurture this new life that has come into the world. Get to know it. That's what I would suggest for you here, right? You know, that this kind of worn out, doing things the old way or sticking with old things, right? You know it's not working. And so even for me, like this, you know, I was thought I'd write fiction. I don't have any great desire to write fiction. I don't have any great sparks. It's not like I've got a story brewing in me or whatever, right? So this is that long-term thing that I'm thinking about. But when I picture myself like lying on my deathbed, right, just at the end of my life, and it would be something I think that I would regret. And that's me at this age thinking that about, and you know, that's the big picture. That this kind of written in the stars thing isn't that, wow, like God is showing me the way and I'm meant to do this. It's the thing of, you know, I always want to do this. If not now, then when? If not me, then who's going to do it? That I could do it. I could do this. I could give it my all. I could try. You know, I could. It doesn't mean I have to quit my job, do whatever, but I can do this. I can spend an hour every evening or spend the weekends doing this. Like, it's something that I could do because I owe it to myself to explore that destiny, to explore that path. So that's what I would ask you to do, because I think there's so many people that put that pressure on themselves. This is how you end up. So what, Seven of Wands, what do you stand for? What is worth defending? What is worth fighting for? And that is not what you're fighting, but what you stand for. That's the key part of this. What you stand for is the Knight of Cups. You know, I could do this. I could love this. You know, I would think I would try this. Being led by your emotions. The thing with the Page of Wands and the Knight of Cups, you know, maybe with that Six of Wands, you carried on showing up that way and saying, hey, guys, I'm good at this, or sticking with what you're good at, is because it's the pressure of what if I'm not so good at something else, or what if it's not the be all and end all, or what if that isn't my big, you know, path that I'm on. It's everyone's job to be who they are. That's all we ask for here. Not to be defined by what you're fighting, not to be defined by the other side, if you think about the scales of Libra, it's not, oh God, I need to remove some of myself because the other side isn't. Do you know what I mean? It's not that. And I think for too long, there's been this kind of self-sacrificing. It's artificial. This feels artificial to me. It was real at one point. It was a survival mechanism. It was the role that you needed to play. It was, you know, whatever it was. Everything was right for that time, but doesn't mean it's right for now. What is right for now? Where you let this Ace of Cups, your emotional growth, your spiritual growth, lead you. And I think it came to a head in Pisces season. But that's where this intuition, the High Priestess, comes in. And that's that deer energy, right? That graceful, loving. Everywhere you look, you will find yourself. High Priestess says that. You will find what you stand for in that situation. Not what repulses you, not what frightens you, not what you need to hold on to. But you will find yourself, the version of you. And what you stand for in that situation. I want to get one more for that Nine of Bloody Hell. Did you see that? I should have guessed. Yeah, that's balance. That is what you give to. Not what you have to hide. Not what, you know, there's not a good enough reason for me to do this. That Nine of Wands, Page of Wands kind of feels like. But this is, I'm going to give to this because I can't. Because it feels good to give to this. To spend time on this. I'll give an example of a Libra, my mother. That she started off, if you guys know, she always wanted to learn how to ride a bike. Never had when she was a kid because she had an accident. And she did, like, you know, the last few years, she's learned how to ride a bike. She's very good at riding a bike. And she'd been kind of dithering on this thing of, like, getting, they were tested, you know, you could go get tested and you get a certification or passed that you can now ride a bike on the streets and stuff. She just enjoyed riding it in the park. So she went through this phase of thinking, well, I'm only going to ride it in the park. I don't really need to be, like, proficient on riding on the roads or anything like that. And that would be this, right? No, I don't really need to do that. Like, you know, it's not a good enough reason. I don't need to. I've got a car. I'm not going to be riding around on the streets of London. But she ended up doing it. She feels so good because it was just the training of it and going out and doing it. And she may not ride her bike on the streets, but she can ride her bike on the streets if she wanted to. And she did it not for the outcome, not for what it was worth. You know, this point, it's because she loved it, because that's what she felt like doing, because, you know, she found a different version of herself by showing up and getting the one-on-one training and going and overcoming fears and practicing to do certain things. She figured out what she stood for, and it was to do with her. It wasn't to do with the challenge. It wasn't to do with the test. It wasn't to do with any of that. It was to do with her own warrior spirit. She's an Aries rising, by the way, as well. So there you go. Right, advice, magician. Use what you know, use whatever you have available in front of you to create something. This is that what will happen. I better not leave because this will happen and this could happen. Anticipation, anxiety. This denies your own power. This denies your own Queen of Wands. With the magician, it's you choose to do this. I choose to create with this. I'm going to say something very cliche. You know, I choose to make lemonade out of these lemons. Or I choose to like squirt them in the eyes of my enemies, like whatever. But you choose that. It's your choice. You may decide afterwards that it was a good reason or a bad reason, right? But that's on you. But then you can decide, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore. Six of Swords moving forward. Page of Pentacles. Here's the interesting thing with the magician coming up with that Six of Swords. This is the decision to move on from the chaos. But you don't know where you're going. You don't know like where you're headed, but you just know you're not going back. It's like, you know, I'm not going to put up with that conflict. I don't want to do that anymore, whether it's internal or external. This came up before, remember? If you guys remember, it was the World. Sorry, I keep hitting the mic, Mom. But the World keeps coming up. It's Saturnian energy. It's the end of a cycle. It's the end of doing things a certain way. For a lot of you, the very basics of this is the end of will it happen, won't it happen? Nothing. Will it change, won't it change? Like that's the most disempowering way of looking at life. Because you have no control, you know, no one can answer that. And even if they could, even if you have a crystal ball, you know, you can create a time machine or you can do whatever. Hey, check out some of the Philip K. Dick stories about time travel. They never end up well, right? They never end up well. I forget the name of that one where they've got those killer butterflies. If anyone remembers the story, I don't remember the name of it. And, you know, they go into the future and they just go to have a look and come back. And the earth has been decimated. Every living creature has been decimated and killed by these killer butterflies. And they can't figure out what they did to bring these, like, what the hell did we do? How did we do this? That, how did we destroy the earth? That we're trying to do this to be more peaceful and loving and create a better world. So they kept going into the future. What happened was that by going into that future and coming back, he brought those killer butterflies. He started the bloody killer butterfly, you know, epidemic or disaster or tragedy or whatever you want to call it. So we do that. By going and looking at the fears of our future and stuff, we bring them into the present. Don't do that to yourself. Life doesn't work that way, trust me. We begin the tarot, right? The magician is, this season's about initiating, taking your initiative, beginning, being the initiate, right? That's the magician. How do you do that? By saying, right, this is what I know, this is what I've got, this is what I choose to do. Page of Pentacles. Based on my values, not because it has any other huge value. It's because it's what I've got. It's the seeds that I've got. I'm going to start growing something with this. Because my aim is to move forward. You know, it's about what you take with you into your future. You don't know where you're going in the future. And there's a massive theme here. But your way of relating, your way of interacting with the world, your way of, you know, being in your relationships and stuff. Saturn comes up here. It's over. If you let it be. Remember what I said at the beginning of this. You know, there can be that feeling to, no, but my relationships are perfect and you do whatever. Consider if it's in that, you know, 1 meter squared by 1 meter squared bit of land. Who else could you be? There's 8 billion people on the planet. There's numerous careers you could do. There's books that you could read. There's things that you could watch. There are paintings that you could paint, music that you could make. There are different dances that you could learn. There's so much to explore. There is so much to be. There are so many different ways to relate. There's no inherent value to any one person, thing, or way of doing things. How are you engaging with all of this? What other ways are there for you to engage with this? In a very open, kind of pioneering, you know, pioneering is a good word, way. That's what I get. And not because there's financial value to it, not because that is the love of your life, not because that kid is going to grow up to be an astronaut, not because of any of that. But because that's what you choose. There you go, my lovelies. Those were your messages. I love you guys very much. I will see you next time. That's all for now. Goodbye.